I think about how the Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, I know we mention him from time to time. It's such a beautiful allegory of what life is really like. But he went up on some mountains one time, I believe it was, or hills or something, and looked over into that land. And he got a view of his eternal home. And he got a view, he looked over there, and that gave him something to hold to. Do you know this morning, saints, the Lord wants us to get a little view of something that we're hoping for, we're going to. I believe it'll make a big difference to us if we really get a firm grasp on it. You know, it's one thing to be afraid of hellfire and all those things, and we should be, I'll tell you that. There's more said about it in the Bible than there is about heaven. But I will tell you, he gives us a little glimpse of heaven, and if we don't get a hold of that, we're going to be at a real disadvantage to what we could have. So I want to read just a few scriptures of what it says this morning, folks, about heaven. You know, we have hope, don't we? The Bible gives us hope this morning. It gives us something to anchor our souls in. And it gives us something that though the world around us goes 100 ways, thousands of ways, and though they have every kind of evil imagination continually, and all of those things, and though the stream is swift, I want to tell you, we've got an anchor that can anchor us, and part of that is our hope that we have for eternal felicity, for eternal bliss with the Lord. The Lord promised us these things, and folks, we have something to anchor our life in. I'm counting my whole life on it. That's what my life revolves around. That's what I've sold my life to this thing. I've given it to the Lord completely. I believe in it. Do you believe this morning? Do we realize the things that God has prepared for us? You know, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard. It hasn't even entered into the mind, the heart of man, the things the Lord has prepared. But he says he's revealed it to us by his Spirit. Do you know that the Lord has given us a little earnest of that? He speaks of the earnest. You know what the earnest is? It's the down payment, isn't it? He's given us his Spirit, hasn't he? And that little down payment, that little thing that gives us, it's his pledge that one day we'll have what the fullness of God really has made for you and me. Folks, it's worth throwing our lives into it and finding our hope and anchoring our life in something more and something different and something many times upstream to this world. I want to read in Revelation 7, starting at verse 12, some different places that I believe is speaking of our home over there. It says, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? You know, it speaks of the white robes, doesn't it? It says it's the righteousness of saints in another place of Revelations. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. You know, we've been getting a pretty good taste lately of the sun, haven't we? Excuse me. You can go outside and you touch the doorknob on your car, and if it's facing the sun, it'll burn you sometimes. We've been getting a little taste of what it's like to go outside in 15 minutes, come back in, and you're covered with sweat. You know what, saints? There is a place, the Bible says, where the sun's not going to light on you like that. It says here, for the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Folks, I just want us to get a little glimpse over there this morning. May the Lord inspire our hearts with a little glimpse that this thing is worth our life. The scripture here says, who are these? Who are these dressed in white? And where did they come from? And didn't he say, these are they which came out of great tribulation. You know what that is? It's temptation. It's trouble. It's problems. It's the things that life has to throw to us that we don't like. We don't like tribulation, do we? Tribulation is trouble. And he said here, these folks here dressed in white, these folks that have come and their robes are spotless, he said, they've come through great tribulation and they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Saints, this morning, let's wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb. Let's keep them white. And one day, we can be here. One day, this is the promise of the Father that He's given us hope that we can live here one day. Do you take that into your mind this morning? Do you believe that this morning? I do. I believe that there's going to be a day that all the tears are going to be wiped away. I know the Lord wipes away tears of regret for sin now. The Lord will do that. But you know what He's going to do then? He's going to wipe all tears away. There's going to be something more. There's going to be something more, folks. Is that worth the investment of our life? Can we look down the road a little ways and say, you know what? It's worth the tribulation. It's worth the tribulation. It's worth the sorrow that I have to have from time to time. I don't sorrow all the time. Thank God, I enjoy many days. But I will tell you, there's some dark days too, of deep sorrow, things of trouble, temptation, problems. And we all have them, don't we? Folks, if we have in our heart, if we have in our mind a real belief that over there, eternally, forever, there is no ending to it, and we have that over there, it's a small price, I believe, what we can pay here. If we go through tribulation and we keep a right spirit, if we go through troubles and we keep our soul pure and clean, if we face temptations and we keep our heart clean, is that worthwhile this morning? I'll tell you, to me it is. I believe in this thing. They tell me of an unclouded day. I have loved that song since I was probably 18 or 19. I used to listen to it as a young person over and over and over. I loved that song. They tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. In Revelation 21 and 4, I believe this also is speaking of heaven. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Now, folks, that's going to be a place there isn't going to... Oh, the grief that comes from death. Oh, the trouble, the tears, the pain, the heartache that comes from those things. It affects people the rest of their life sometimes, many times. But you know what he said? He tells us here, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Thank the Lord this morning. You know, in John 14 and 2, I know Jesus took the sting out of death. We don't sorrow as other men sorrow. We rejoice that our loved ones are in heaven. But I will tell you, we sorrow that we miss them, don't we? And we feel the pain of somebody that we've loved so much and then they're gone. We feel those things, don't we? But you know what Jesus said in John 14 and 2? In fact, we'll start at 1. Let not your heart be troubled, he says. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, Jesus, these are words of promise from the Lord. He said, I am going to prepare a place for you. Now, I will tell you, if he spoke and the world came into existence and all of its amazing things, what's it going to be like when he's going and preparing a place? I wonder what it's going to be like. I have to believe it's going to be more than we can take in. We're going to have a new body, aren't we, to enjoy those things like we should. Let's look at Revelation 21 and 21. It says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, you know, we esteem gold here, don't we? It makes people's lives easy in a temporal sense, doesn't it? When they have plenty. You know what it says here? The streets are paved with it. They put that on the streets. I know that it's speaking figuratively. I believe that. But you know, this morning, the things that we would most highly esteem here are worth very little over there. They pave the streets with it. We put asphalt on our streets or concrete. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Those are the ones coming into this. And I know that the kingdom of God is partly here and partly there. And some of these things apply both places. But I will tell you this morning, folks, I think it's going to be beyond our comprehension. You can read a lot more scriptures in that chapter that go a little bit beyond what we're able to comprehend in our own mind. But I believe what the Lord's telling us is, it's going to be fabulous beyond belief. Do you believe that this morning? I'm not asking for you to answer me, but I want you to answer yourself. Do you believe that this morning? Folks, if we believe this, we ought to give our lives for it. Let's look over into that city just a little here and realize the things that God has prepared for those that love Him this morning, and recognize we're not going to just stay on that part of the subject this morning, but I want to look at different scriptures that give us hope and that exhort us to be faithful, to follow that through. I tell you, I'm glad. I'm so glad I believed that as a young person. I cannot tell you how happy I am that I did not sow my wild seeds like many do. I did some things I'm ashamed of. But folks, you don't need to sow your wild seeds. If you'll believe this thing early in life, take up your cross and follow the Lord. I want to tell you something. You'll save yourself worlds of trouble, and I think you'll be happier for it. Okay, Hebrews 6 and 12. It says here that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Do you know these are promises to us today? And the writer here of Hebrews tells us to not be slothful, but follow those that through faith. Do you know that faith is what hooks us to our hope? That's what makes us believe this hope. The Lord has given us hope. It is our belief in that. It is our faith in that. It is our faith in the Lord that makes us willing many times and able to go forward. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. You know, what is this refuge? I think this is going back and relating a little bit to the cities of refuge in the Old Testament. Do you know in the Old Testament time, if somebody murdered someone, the next of kin, it was fair game to go and kill them back. That was legal. That was fair game. Do you know that if somebody did it accidentally and they didn't mean to, they hit them with a car, they could flee to this city of refuge. There was six cities throughout Israel, and these cities were called cities of refuge. They could flee there and be safe. And if the pursuer came after them into that city, the authorities there would stop him there and apprehend him. Do you know that this was the law there? But when they got to that city, they found a refuge. They found a place where they were safe. You know, I believe that the writer of Hebrews here is referring to that. And he said that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Do you know that anchor, that hope, folks, the devil works as hard as he can to get our eyes off of the hope set before us. Do you know that if he can get your eyes on something, whether it is the Sister Connie talked a little about those things this morning, whether it is the empty, vain things of life that people spend their lives for, or the parties, or the anger, or the troubles, just the tribulations, they get their eyes on those things and they lose track of the hope set before them. And he tells us here that this hope that we have, folks, is an anchor to our soul. Because we believe, because we see it before us, because it is in our mind, it is where we are heading. We got a glimpse. We got a glimpse over there into that place. We've given a glimpse this morning. Do you know we've read a little about what it's going to be like? And so, will we endure tribulation then? Will we keep our eyes on that hope and on that goal? It's the anchor of our soul. If we allow our hope, if we allow our eyes to get off of that, that anchor that anchors us, that hope that we have, folks, that's where we lose it. That's where we lose it. We start looking around. We start seeing. And just as the slough of despond, I know we quote Pilgrim's Progress regularly here, and it's been many years since I've read it. But I will tell you, you get your eyes, you can begin to sink, folks. This hope is the anchor of our soul. We keep our eyes on that prize. I've got to make it. I want to make it. I've set my life for it. Whatever it takes, whatever tribulation that I have to go through, I want to be willing to go through it for the Lord. I want to keep a right spirit in the midst of it. I want to be able to glorify the Maker, glorify God with all of our hearts. Don't you know that God wants us to glorify Him in this life? Is He going to make something that is continually under things? No, the Lord wants to, by us keeping our eyes on the goal, on the hope set before us, by us keeping our heart set in the things of God, then we don't get under all of those things. We live beyond them, don't we? Oh yes, they get us down and we have to get the help from God and get above them. But folks, thank the Lord we can do that. Jesus did that in the garden. The angels had to come and minister because He was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. But the angels came and ministered. And He got His eyes up on the goal. And He got His eyes up on His job that He was to do. And He did it. And He faithfully followed through with what God had said in his life and in His mind to do. Oh, may the Lord help us this morning that we find ourselves following Him without any reserves. That's what I want to do. I don't want any reserves. Lord, folks, we can do that. But only a few do it. Jesus said only there's going to be a few that go in this narrow gate. This gate that is He calls it difficult. That's the word that translates to. He calls it a difficult gate. Folks, not everybody's going to just go in. He said many's going to go in the wide gate. They're just going to slide in. They don't even have to do anything to go downstream. Just float along. Do whatever the flesh has. We can't live after the flesh, can we? Not and make it in. But folks, if we, through the hope of the gospel, crucify our flesh and live to the Lord, I don't care how many times we have, if we fail, if we have trouble, if we, folks, get up and go. The hope that we have set before us is worth, it's worth the cost. It's worth what we have to do. And I know it's the Lord that works in us. But I want to tell you, His grace is great. And He can do that. Romans 8 and 17. Now listen to this. 17 through 25. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. You know, you ever thought of Christ and what He's enjoying? You ever thought of what He's an heir to? It's pretty great, isn't it? Do you know that we are joint heirs with Him? Has our mind took that in, that we are joint heirs with Christ? Along with what He inherits, we also inherit those things. And so, if so be, that we suffer with Him, that we may also be also glorified together. For I reckon... Listen to what Paul says here. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that a way to say it? The suffering, now if anybody suffered, I think Paul did. He had a lot of it. But you know what? He said, another place he called them light afflictions. He said they're not worthy to be compared. Oh yeah, I got hit with stones and they thought I was dead and left. But I got back up and went to the next city and preached the gospel to them. You know, you wasn't going to put Him out, was you? No. he said he had his eyes on the goal. He had his eyes on the fact that these things aren't worthy to be compared to those things that are before us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You have any troubles in your body? One of these days, we're going to be redeemed, aren't we? We're going to be bought back. God's going to come and get us one of these days, and we're going to have a new body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I've seen some folks get old and patiently wait and patiently endure the afflictions of old age. And I've watched them keep their eyes on the goal. Folks, we're all hurtling quickly to that. You won't believe how fast you'll be in your mid-50s, young people. It's pretty amazing. And then, all of a sudden, you realize how time flies. It's for all of us. This hope that we have, it's an anchor to our soul this morning. Thought about the song. I wish somebody would get that. The blessed hope we have within us is an anchor to the soul. It is both steadfast and sure. What number? 198. Could someone sing that this morning?
Passed away.
This is the starry crown we have hope in our souls, brighter than the perfect day. God has given us the Spirit and what the world can hear in all of it. Passed away. Well, I hope that hope is bright in your soul. I will tell you, it is in mine, thank the Lord. I believe it can be in all of our hearts. Now listen, I want to read to us a little bit here in Hebrews 11, starting at 12. It says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. You know how many times we've heard these scriptures? Folks, listen. We need to get a hold of these scriptures. These ought to be anchor points in our life. These ought to be bedrock to us. It says here that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Do you get the impact of these words this morning? You know, it says here that if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But they weren't mindful of that country anymore. They were mindful of another country. They were mindful, it said, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I'm looking one day. I want to see the Lord in peace, not just for fear's sake, but I believe this morning. The Lord wants us to meet him in peace. He talks about being accounted worthy of that day and being ready for him. You know, this morning, let's set our lives in such a way. Let's set our lives. You know, I don't have to tell everybody all the things about living for God. But I will tell you what. If you will get your mind and eyes on the goal, I'm going to make it no matter what. I'm going to make it there. I'm going to set my life for it. I'm going to give my life to it, all my life. I don't care what it takes. There's been times in my life that I said, if I have to crawl, I'm going to go to heaven. Do you know sometimes it's that way? At least it has been for me at times. And folks, we've got to hang in there. We've got to do that. We've got to keep our eyes on the goal. We've got to know what we're heading for and have it ever in our mind, ever close. It's an anchor. See, that's an anchor to our soul. The tide starts going out, and the ship wants to go with it. And I will tell you, the temptation, the pull, do you feel it? Of course we do. But I will tell you, we're anchored. We have a hope that one day we're going to find a better country. One day this place that the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. And I'm going to get you and take you to that place this morning. I want to urge all of us, get our eyes on that goal. Get our mind on that thing. And let the Lord give us that place this morning, where God is not ashamed to be called our God. We don't want that, do we? Romans 5 and 1. Maybe we'll have one more after this. Romans 5 and 1. Listen to this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Saints, I want to encourage us this morning. Don't be weary in well-doing, the Bible says. The Scripture tells us that we glory in tribulations. Why? Why, tell me, would we glory? Why would we take pleasure in tribulation? Because we know that it fits us for heaven. Listen to what it says here, that knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience is what it's going to take to get us in, isn't it? We're going to have to patiently endure some things. When times get hard, we're going to have to get our eyes off of the hard and get it onto the Lord, onto the goal, onto that time, onto that place where one day, eternally, that means it never quits, that we'll have a home over there. And that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. I will tell you, if you have a little experience with the Lord, you have a lot more hope than you had before, because you know that God will take us through. He'll make it possible. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, don't we have a hope this morning that is well worth the while? On down in verse 21, it tops this off by saying that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at how that grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. Folks, eternal life, you know what that means? It means forever. All the good things that we read, that's what it means. And it means it won't quit. I don't know about you, but my hope is in that. My heart is on that. Folks, hope is an awesome thing. Hope is a wonderful thing. It is something that anchors. It's something that you get somebody to hoping. You get somebody to doing a job and they think it's going to be well worth it, they'll stick with it to the end. They'll sweat. They'll do what they have to. Well, I know we don't work our way by works, but I will tell you, we live for the Lord. We do His will, don't we? We serve Him. We depart from sin. I just want to encourage us this morning to let nothing, don't let anything stop us from our goal, from our intense desire and our hope that we have, that we can make it because of the Lord this morning. Amen.